sounded beautiful to Kevin, but you're not modulating it as heavily, and your voice is apparently weaker than mine. I'll put it back to Kevin for comment. She wasn't getting the row up into the red, and when I'm talking, I'm every once in a while touching one of the red LEDs.
Well, Laura, you really sound great, even if you aren't quite hitting the level as hard as Marty, because I think the Aphex is doing its job in bringing your level up. So tell me what you did today, Laura. How was your day, and what exciting things did you experience, WB4AIO?
Okay, Kevin, gladly.
Yes,
look at the Duro.
Okay, Marty.
And you want to talk right into the top of my angle up like that. This microphone didn't work
okay.
That way.
How's that? I'm looking.
Train yourself.
Okay, I'm looking. Okay. Marty's going to eat. I just made him a nice meal just now. So, anyway, I'm on my laptop. I'm creating I made a CD, two CDs actually, put together music for my parents and brother in West Virginia. And I'm going to print out cover artwork and some other articles to send to them. And let's see, what else did we do today? Russia Today. Oh, good, Marty. Okay, we put on Russia Today this morning. And you know what I still need to do is we need to, Marty, get that bird feeder drilled. Because I want to get that outside, you know, before it gets too cold, and I want to see the birdies, just like Kevin has. So
maybe I'm in the background, Kevin. Maybe I can increase the slider, and we'll find out if this gets me into trouble. Just a little, maybe 3 dB, and maybe then Laura can speak further away. Oh, what the hell, I'll put it up all the way. It's topped out right now on channel 1. Go ahead, Laura, you can talk now. And you'll see a higher response with less voice.
Okay. So I'm trying to think, what else did we do today? Marty, you were on the computer working, and let's see. I watched a movie last night, part of it, but it's a horror movie, so I don't think you'd be interested in that. But Marty and I have been watching plenty of documentaries that are very interesting, and I have one on hackers, believe it or not. I wanted to watch, and hopefully Marty will watch it with me. So I think I've taken enough time here. I'll turn it back over to you, Kevin.
Okay. N2JTT with N2IRJ on the side, the WB4AIO. Yeah, you really should... work on getting that bird feeder up, because the cool weather is coming and the birds will be finding relatively few food sources in the snow-covered ground. So that's when your feeder will really become popular. It would be nice if they knew about it before that day came. My bird feeder still attracts a chickadee occasionally, but the traffic at the bird feeder has gone way down since the cats came to live in the house. The cats occasionally, they don't do it extremely often, but the cats do occasionally sit in the windowsill. And when they sit in the windowsill, they're only about 1 foot from the bird feeder. And so they're 1 feet from where the birds will be. And I think some of the birds who used to love the feeder have noticed that, and they've decided to forget about the bird feeder, because somehow deep in their instinctive souls, they recognize what a cat is and what a danger it might pose to them. So maybe when winter comes and they're desperate for food, they'll take a chance, and maybe some of them will realize that the cats cannot get through the window and therefore really don't pose a threat. We'll see about that. Okay, on the movie and the CD, I hope your parents enjoy it, and it's really great to hear your voice on the radio. You should get on here more often. I think maybe you should start your own net. N2JTT with Marty on the side, WB4AIO.
Okay, Kevin. Hey, I'd like that. That's a great idea, start my own net. So, you know, the birds, Marty's trying to help me here. Okay, go ahead, Marty. What?
I want you to hold your... an angle with your face and your mouth.
Okay, okay. All right.
Here.
Okay, so.
Now look at the door.
I'm looking. Okay. Now I forgot what I was going to say, but. The birdies. Oh, yeah, I know. The birdies and the. Yeah, if they see the cat.
Red zone.
Okay, Marty.
Okay.
So yes, the bird feeder we want to take care of. And Kevin, I wanted to ask you, were you able to get caught up on your rest? I know you've had a sleep deficit, and hopefully you've been able to get at least some. And it'll probably take a few days to get all caught up. So anyway, Kevin, back over to you from N2JTT.
Well, I don't think I am caught up. My sleep cycle is still a horrible mess. What's happening, two things are happening. One thing is I'm tempted to operate ham radio late at night because Marty or somebody else that I haven't talked to in years or some new station with a really interesting AM or ESSB signal is on, and I haven't been on the air in a while, and so I'm just so tempted to have a QSO, and it's midnight, then it's 1, then it's 2, and then I have to get up at 5:30 to wake Clara up. And plus, Clara's sleep cycle is kind of messed up too, so sometimes that's a struggle. And then by the time I get done with all of that, I'm so exhausted I have to take a nap in the middle of the day. And guess what? When I take a nap in the middle of the day, I temporarily feel caught up, like I feel caught up right now. But what happens is I feel so caught up, then I'm once again tempted to start the cycle all over again and say, hey, there's something interesting to do at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I know exactly what you mean. I sure do. I am, Marty. Okay. And my sleep schedule is really it's messed up because I've been staying up late also in the chat room and so on. But I enjoy that. It's fun. So I know it's going to probably take a while to get the sleep schedule back into a regular format. But hopefully you can accomplish that soon. So you're not so tired all the time. I know that's rough. Have you guys seen any movies lately? And if so, what ones? Over?
Well, even though we could have watched quite a few, we really have watched very few films ever since the school year started because Clara has got to do her homework now that she has the kitties. She has some extra chores to do, and so with the extra chores, the homework, and all the hours she's spending in school, we really have a lot less time together than we used to have. So I would say our movie watching has dropped from maybe 4 or 5 films a week down to maybe 1 film a week. And when we have been watching films, what we've been doing is we recently got off eBay for a really good price, got the full series of the Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes stories, which are, in my opinion, by far the best movie interpretations of Sherlock Holmes. And in fact, I don't really even believe that a better interpretation of Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes could even be done than the Jeremy Brett versions. And we've been watching those. I think there are about, I'm not sure exactly, I think there are about 50 of them. And I think we've watched maybe 4 or 5. So we've got a long way to go at this rate before we'll be done with them. And I guess we'll save money because we don't have to rent movies at the video store as long as we're not done with this series. Over.
Okay, well, that sounds really great. That sounds very fascinating, too. I'd love to see that series. And I've got a few series that I need to get caught up on, but I've been watching movies. You know, that might be in my big pile. But The Prisoner is one such series that I have. And let's see, I have Columbo. But The Prisoner is actually, you were the one who got me interested in The Prisoner. It's because there's an email that you sent mentioning an actor. He was a prominent actor back in the day, I guess. I don't recall his name, but he had a large forehead. Do you recall that, Kevin? And he's stars in this series called The Prisoner. And it looks very interesting. I looked it up on Wikipedia. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. So back over to you.
Wow. Yeah, The Prisoner. That's That's a real classic, and I really enjoy a lot of those episodes. I think right near the end of the series, they produced some that were not very high quality. I think they just had to fulfill their contract, and they knew the show was being canceled. And so some of the prisoners right at the end of the run aren't that great, but with the exception of maybe two or three episodes, it's a fascinating, interesting, intellectual, and sort of mysterious series because there's so much they don't tell you about what's going on. And it was designed as a sort of a follow-up to the Secret Agent Man series from the 60s, which starred the same actor, and this was sort of a follow-up to his Secret Agent career. He tried to retire, and then he was kidnapped and pumped for information in this mysterious place called The Village. And the actor's name is Patrick McGoohan. And he died recently, just a few years ago, I think. But he was truly an excellent actor, underrated, I think. And very, very good in that series, which he had a lot of intellectual input into producing also. So, yeah, I haven't seen those shows in many years. I'd love to see those again myself, WB4AIO.
Yeah, well, we should definitely get together and we can watch them and... let's see, that you make it, what you said about the series The Prisoner sounds very, very fascinating, and that's what I read on the internet. I checked it out before I got it, and I just was very interested in getting that. So, and of course my X-Files, I temporarily put that on hold to watch some movies. I never finished the X-Files, and I had to complete that. But and then we've got the Star Trek, which I love. So that's about sums it up with the movie watching and DVD watching. And I actually enjoy it instead of TV, you know, what's on today anymore. So that's about all that I can think of that's going on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. But I guess I'll turn back over to you, Kevin. From Into JTT.
Okay. There may be people who want to break in and talk to you, Laura, with a fantastic, high-fidelity, beautiful signal like that that carries your lovely voice across the airwaves so perfectly. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if you've seen any of the episodes of The Prisoner yet, but the action takes place mainly in this mysterious place called The Village. And... The protagonist, played by McGoohan, is only known as Number 6. Everybody has a number there. Nobody has a name. And Number 6 finds himself kidnapped and taken to this village where everything is... they claim you're free. They claim it's a democracy. And yet you can never leave. You never know who's really in charge. They're constantly pumping him for information. And... he doesn't know which side has kidnapped him. He has no idea. One of the interesting things about The Prisoner also is that the place where the action takes place, this village, which looks like a, I don't know, sort of like a little picture postcard, Romanesque ancient village with very quaint, rather attractive architecture. It's a real place. It was filmed at an actual location called Port Mirron in Wales. And just because of the Prisoner Association, someday I went to Wales and I failed to go to Port Mirron. That was really stupid of me, but I'd really like to see that place someday. WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus.
Oh, that sounds beautiful, Kevin. That really does. I'd love to see the place myself. No, and no, I haven't started watching this series yet, but go ahead.
Just interjecting, on this transmission, for the first time, I turned off the transmit EQ, which might have diminished the highs in Laura's voice, so I wanted you to be aware of that, and I can switch it back and forth, too, if you'd like, so that you can make it a quick A-B comparison. So back to Laura. Continue, Laura.
Okay. So, yes, I'm definitely looking forward to starting that, Kevin. And I remember the village when I read up on it on the internet, and it just sounded very fascinating, mysterious. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that. It would be nice if you and Clara could join us. We could watch it all those together. I think that would be really fun. So I guess I'll turn it back over to you. And from Into JTT.
Oh, I would really enjoy that. By the way, I like your voice better with the EQ off, but it sounds good both ways. It sounds full fidelity both ways. It's just a little smoother and maybe a little bit more natural with the EQ off. Yeah, I don't know if the full series is available on DVD, but if it is, I guess we could, if we can't get together, we could swap. After we're done watching Sherlock Holmes, we could swap with you and watch the other program. One of the things that is interesting about The Prisoner is the opening. The opening is very artistically done, and it's the same for almost every episode. And a part of it consists of a dialogue between the captured number six, who, by the way, says, "I am not a number, I am a free man." Anyway, it's a dialogue between the captured number six and his captor, who is number two. Number two is always the head of the village. They never tell you who number one is. But at one point in the dialogue, the protagonist asks, "Who is number one?" And the only answer is, "You are number six." But the interesting thing is the answer, "You are number six," can be interpreted two ways. It could just mean it's a non-answer and he's just saying that you're number six. But it could also mean that it's the answer to the question, "Who is number one?" "You are number six." WB4AIO.
That is neat. That is something. Well, I actually do have the DVDs, the set. I have it. And I think I'm pretty sure it's on DVD. Maybe it was on Blu-ray, but I have it in the whole pile. So, yeah, looking definitely. Looking forward to that. And yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We could swap. And we can do that with different series, I guess, that we each have. That would be fun to do that. So Marty's he's still finishing up his meal here. And what, Marty? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying talking with Kevin here. So, well, I guess I'll turn it to Kevin for any further comment, and then Kevin, if there's not any further comment, then I'll turn it over to Marty and to JTT.
Well, I'll let you know, Laura, that I recorded your transmissions. I didn't start the recorder right away, but I've recorded a great deal of it, and I'll send it to you on an email so you can hear how you're sounding here at AIO Laboratories. Really good to hear you. And I look forward to sharing The Prisoner with you in one way or another. It's a lot of fun and somewhat enigmatic and mysterious, as all good art is to some extent or other. And to JTT, have a good evening. What is left of it. This is WB4AIO Interim AE. I think I'm supposed to say that.
Thank you, Kevin, and yes, definitely, let's do that, and I think I'll turn it over to Marty, but it's been really fun. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I look forward to having more sessions like this, and thank you, by the way, for the for recording. I didn't know you had done that, so that'll be a nice surprise. Be interested in seeing or hearing that, actually, so...
They could even play it back over the air, too. It won't be as good, but I'm making an Audacity as well, and I'm going to play you back in a moment, Kevin.
Okay, so yeah, Kevin, you have a really pleasant evening yourself, you and Clara, and the kitties, and does be well, and I hope that you can get more caught up on your rest. So we'll be talking to you soon. I'll say 7-3 for now. Into JTT.
Okay.
And your turn. Oh, Marty.
I'm going to play the recording after you started saying that you were recording Laura.
And I'll send it to you on an email so you can hear how you're sounding here at the AIO Laboratories. Really good to hear you. And I look forward to sharing The Prisoner with you in one way or another. It's a lot of fun. And somewhat enigmatic and mysterious, as all good art is to some extent or other. And to JTT, have a good evening. What is left of it. This is WB4AIO Interim AE. I think I'm supposed to say that.
I don't think you have to say the AE as long as you have your paper from the VE testing session with you with a license, and I'll have you know that your signal before was showing S5 noise floor going up to an S9, so that was 24 dB, and another time I had enough, there was a big enough pause where things recovered and I got to see my true noise floor. The noise floor I gave you was when your mic was keyed and went down to an S3. So you have 2 dB of fan noise in the background. Over.
Okay, I hope Laura is still listening. Is Laura still listening?
Yes, she is. I don't mean to be two S units of fan noise. Go ahead.
Yes, Kevin, I'm still here. Enter JTT.
Okay, listen to this.
As well, and I'm going to play you back in a moment, Kevin.
Okay, so, Kevin, you have a really pleasant evening yourself, you and Clara, and the kitties, and just be well, and I hope that you can get more caught up on your rest. So we'll be talking to you soon. I'll say 7-3 for now. Into JTT.
Okay.
And turn, Marty.
I'm going to play the recording after you started saying that you were recording long.
Okay, so there's how you sound, Laura. What do you think?
Boy, Kevin, that's a beautiful recording. I'm really I'm impressed. That's really nice to hear that. I think everyone sounds very good, all of us. So thank you for doing that and sharing that with us. Into JTT.
And into IRJ. Back to you.
Okay, I'm glad you enjoyed it. By the way, I first watched The Prisoner when I was 12 years old. If I recall correctly, The Prisoner was a British production, but it was the summertime replacement series for the Jackie Gleason show on whatever network that was. I think it was CBS. I could be wrong. But anyway, it was the summertime replacement for Jackie Gleason. And let me tell you, as much as I like Jackie Gleason, The Prisoner was nothing like the Jackie Gleason show. Over.
Oh, I can imagine. No, I've seen reruns of the Jackie Gleason show. And just from what I read of the description of The Prisoner, I think it would be, well, for me at least, for my taste, it would be far better. So I'm really looking forward to that. So. Okay, into JTT. I'll turn it back over to you, Kevin.
Okay, I'll let you get on with your evening. I just thought you might like to hear what the ionosphere two-way path through the ionosphere. You still say you're going to sound pretty good. The recording at this end, of course, is a little bit better because it's not being retransmitted. So I'll email that to or email a link to that to Marty, probably later tonight. See you later. Good luck in the contest, and think of a name for your new net. N2JTTWB4AIO.
Okay, Kevin, I'm glad to give this some thought. I have to think of a creative name for my new net. Well, this has been a real pleasure and fun, and thank you. So, 7-3, and have a really pleasant evening. N2JTT.
Yeah, I could tell you, but maybe I shouldn't say over the air her name on the internet. It starts with Psyche. Okay. Incidentally, I never did answer your question about the bandwidth in its entirety. Six sounds good to me. I was here when it was able to be wider, and that's why I was suggesting about moving up a little. But it turns out that somebody came in with a QSO, and I tried various bandwidths, and six filled it up right next to them without bothering them. And lo and behold, you did the same thing by coincidence. So I thought I'd mention that coincidental, that happenstance, or maybe the mark of two good operators. Over.
I hear Ocean X-Ray in there. Not too loud, but go ahead. This is WB4AIO.
WB4AIO, AD1OX. My name here is Kevin. I'm in Maine, and I've been listening to this, and I'm just 68. I remember some of those shows. Do you remember The Third Man?
Yeah, that wasn't one I watched a lot, but I do remember the Third Man theme being very popular. The name here is also Kevin, and the call is Whiskey Bravo 4 Alpha India Oscar. I'm located in western Pennsylvania.
Roger, roger. Yeah, a little off-the-wall question. Did you ever see a science fiction with Robert Duvall? It was a movie.
You'll have to repeat that. I didn't get that.
It's more like a science fiction movie. Robert Duvall. He was chased. It was an electric car. Do you recall that movie?
Give me the title slowly, because your signal is kind of weak here.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it or what it was. It's just a science fiction movie that's really been rattling my brain. I just cannot remember. I know Robert Duvall was in it, and the whole scene was white. He was trying to escape. He was some kind of car that lost power.
Yeah, I saw a lot of off-the-wall science fiction movies, but that one does not ring a bell. I remember there was one called Deep Star 6 or something like that. Maybe that was Deep Star 6, about some sort of deep space probe that eventually blew up, or I don't remember. It was a very strange film, but I can't remember much about it. Maybe it was Deep Star 9. Maybe that's the one you're talking about, but I am not sure at all. Okay, AB10X, WB4AIO. Marty, are you hearing AB10X better than I am? Because I am having real difficulty pulling him out.
AB10X, Kevin, both Kevins. This is Marty, N2IRJ, in central New Jersey, Jackson, New Jersey. I'm in the center of the state of New Jersey, about 20 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. And I am also having a very tough time of pulling you out. And if you're having trouble hearing me, it's because I don't have my real amplifier online. I'm using a solid-state amplifier, putting out about 500 watts. I'll turn it back to you and find out if my transmission was successful. Over.
In western Pennsylvania, I've got static crashes going up to 5 over 9, and in between the static crashes, just the band noise is about S8. So in western Pennsylvania, it's a fairly noisy evening. Not extremely noisy, but moderately noisy.
Roger, roger. I run into that a lot. The big loop, it's almost 500 feet of wire. The big loops are really quiet. And I'm out here on the salt water up in the far corner of eastern Maine, so just looking down over the salt water. But, it's a lot quieter running a loop. I don't know what you're running with for an antenna. Go ahead.
This is a series-fed Marconi that's sort of arranged like an inverted L, so it's probably not the quietest antenna in the world. And it's got an elevated feed point with the two 50-foot radials going in opposite directions for the counterpoise. So it's totally isolated from ground. And I hear a lot about how noise loops are much quieter receive antennas. Marty has a very quiet receive antenna. It's a beverage. I'm using the Marconi for both transmitting and receiving, but Marty is using a beverage for receiving, at least he customarily does. And the only problem is that his beverage is pointed west. It's sort of pointed at me, and it's not pointed at Maine. Well, I don't know. You're up there by the ocean. Usually the salt water enhances signals, but maybe in this case the ocean is sucking your signal to the east, and the western lobe is not as strong as it might be.
Right. I'm going to switch over to a half delta sloper and see if that's any better.
Okay, you were about 3 dB over S9 that time.
If you're still hearing me, the noise floor is S3 here, and you're going up to S4. But I'm listening westward on my beverage. If you'd like, I could switch to my vertical and give you a report. But I know you're in the process of switching antennas anyway, so I'll keep things the same. The static crashes are starting to build, Kevin, in western Pennsylvania, near Beaverdale. Some of my crashes are going up to about S7. Thank heavens, not over S9 yet.
Wow, that 6 kilohertz heterodyne really hit my ears there.
Yeah, it's hitting my ears too, and I think he's talking. I think his signal went down.
Okay, AB10X, if you are talking, or if you were talking, I can no longer hear you. So the sloper is a vastly inferior antenna to the loop. The loop was working better if indeed you were trying to communicate.
AB10X, how copy?
You're back to what you started out with, not real strong, but audible. Yeah, are you on the sloper right now? Okay, well, I guess it's coming in about as well as the loop. It's hard to tell. There doesn't seem to be a big difference between them. How about at your location, Marty?
Well, that's a good question. On the beverage, he's about the same, but it turns out that I switched to the vertical, and I was going to do a recording of him and play it back, and he was doing much better on the vertical. I can hear you much better now in one land, every word, in fact. So I think I have a better copy on him. See, you were in my null of my western pointing beverage antenna before. This is Marty N2IRJ. Back to you, Kevin, is it Maine? Okay, my noise level here is S7, unlike the S3 before on the beverage, but your signal's going up to an S9. Roger, this is Marty again, and I'll play back a portion of what you just said, and you'll be able to hear for yourself what you truly sound like. The only loss that will be added is the one-way trip over the air, but other than that, this recording system is designed to perfectly reproduce what is being heard, and it's not colored in any way on the playback, so here goes.
And I used to use it on an old 820, but I put it over here on the TS-930 on the solid state, but it seems to be like a sharper angle in that direction.
Feel free to try your other antenna again if you'd like, or I'll pass it, or you could pass it on to Kevin and he could make a recording too. Over.
Well, there's no point in me making a recording because the reception is so poor. But you're obviously now that you're using your vertical for a receiving antenna, you're getting him much better than I am. At least 10 dB better, I would guess by ear.
Yeah, I was surprised at how well this beverage works. And it's true, there's never one antenna that does everything. So Kevin up there in Maine, more antennas the merrier. It'll let you receive people under varied net conditions, atmospheric conditions. If you participate in a network like I do as net controller, I need to have many antennas in many directions to try to pull people out and make a full recording. And so anyway, I'll put it back to you and find out if the ionosphere is still being kind to us. Over. Well, I will gladly let you hear for yourself. Here goes.
Everything I have here is junk. This is a 1960 Motorola mic. Does this sound any better?
Deep back to you.
Hey, I'm running old stuff too. This is a this is an SDR 1000. This is the original software defined transceiver. So it's an antique SDR. Well, it seems to be working well. The only problem is I'm not getting much raw signal strength out of you at this location. Either my antenna doesn't favor Maine, or your antenna doesn't favor Western Pennsylvania, or some combination of the two. So you're not real. You're much, much stronger in New Jersey than you are in Western Pennsylvania. I can just tell by listening to Marty's recordings. Maybe if you got a kilowatt on, then I would hear every word you said, though. Why don't you carry on with him, Marty, because I'm missing too much to have a rational conversation, I'm afraid.
Roger, it turns out that he took a QSB fade that time, and I lost him too, even on the vertical. But I will concur with you that your other microphone combination sounded exactly as you had described, sharper and higher accentuation of higher frequencies. And I too am using a radio that's no longer in production. The radio that I'm talking to you on right now is an SDR 5000, and it was made, I don't know, Kevin could tell you, I think after the 1000, the one is, I think, or maybe before, I'm not sure, but I think after, and they quit producing it about 4 months ago. So I now have an antique to be. Over.
Yeah, to be very precise, mine is an SDR 1000. Yours does not have SDR in the name. It's just a Flex 5000A.
Okay, got it right now. Flex 5000A. That's what I'm running. Over.
There is a way that you can get it a little wider. 32 and run some programming and things like that. You can modify these old PS930s if you want to, but it's a good processor.
Well, the rig I had before this one, was a Kenwood TS-440, which was circa 1987, and I had that for many years. And then before I had the TS-440, believe it or not, I had old tube gear. I had a T4X transmitter from Drake, coupled with a receiver, a Raycall receiver. And the Drake, which I think I got in 1978, was my first single sideband transmitter. Prior to 1978, I was entirely an AM operator. I had a military surplus T368 transmitter, preceded by a Viking Valiant, which I modified, and I was also a modified Hallicrafters BC610E. And I could go on, but I won't, but you get the idea. Prior to almost the 1980s, I didn't even operate single sideband. I was strictly an AMer, and I still operate AM. This SDR-1000 does a nice job on AM also. So I like older gear, no doubt about it. If you go to my website, 3950.net, you'll see that a lot of the graphics I use utilize pictures of older gear that I remember from my younger days. I first started getting into radio at age 12, and I'm old enough where age 12 was the 1960s. And even in the 1960s, I liked the gear that was already old back then. So don't have any real very old vintage gear at the station right now, but I still revel in it, and I still find it a real treat when people are listening to me on an older piece of equipment. Just the other day, I had in one day, I had two people who were talking to me on 75 meter AM. And one of them was listening to me on an HRO-50, a national HRO-50. And then later the same day, somebody was listening to me with a Hammerland HQ-129X. And that was a lot of fun. WB4AIO.
I'll see if I have it. This is Marty, N2IRJ, in Jackson, New Jersey. Kevin up in Maine. It turns out that I will explain the same. Even though I am operating in a wider bandwidth now than you are, and I'm surprised that you recognize, I think you recognize that in your comment. You said you were rock bound to less than 3KC. Well, you didn't say it, but I assume so. And that's what my problem was with my rig before. The last rig I bought was, I guess, more than 20 years ago, FT-1000D, Yaesu Musen. And before that, I had a TS-440 and ran it until it died. And before that, I borrowed a friend's FT-101B Yaesu Musen. And that was a tube radio, on the finals at least. So anyway, I will tell you this. You said about opening it up and I think maybe running digital band or something. You can, to a point. On my Yaesu, I changed it. It was extra narrow from the factory. It had a 2.4 kilohertz filter, and after I got done with it, replacing the filter, I got it up to 3.1 kilocycles bandwidth. Right now, Kevin and I are operating on 6 kilohertz bandwidth. Over.
See if I have it.
Yeah, it turns out that I have the same problem with my FT-1000D AC, inadequate cooling, and at the moment I have a bypassed system to do similar things to yours. I wish I could increase the size of the heatsink. That's what I really need. I need more surface area. But to make it smaller and lighter and cheaper, they made it with just a loud blower fan, a squirrel cage that goes from side to side. It's like 14 inches wide or something, 12 inches anyway, and it doesn't look like the normal fans are used to seeing, and blowers. And I forgot to say that I recorded you a few sessions ago. Your signal has come up, but here's how you sounded back then. I think you're explaining about which rig and microphone. Here it goes.
Pull out the digital board, and you could put a RS-232 and let some programming and things like that. You can modify these old TS-930s if you want to, but it takes this processing.
Okay, I'm back in real time. The recording is done. I want to say that the last transmission of yours was stronger than that, but that's about how low it gets, and then I could give you an example on how high it gets if you want, but I'm hearing every word. Don't know if Kevin is, though. I'll turn it back to you again in Maine for comment, and then you can pass it over to Kevin in near Beaverdale, Pennsylvania. Okay, Marty here again, and when you said it is what it is, that was your bottoming out point, and you've come up ever since. You're stronger now and back to your full gusto. I used to work that myself, and I still have a particular enjoyment for it. I like, it's fun too when there are band openings. I used to have a job where I had to drive all over the Northeast, from Maine to Virginia, and I had a mobile, powerful 2-meter, 300-watt system, and I, one night, throughout the night, talked back home directly simplex to KN2T, my neighbor. It was really amazing to be able to do that on 2 meters. But that was only because there was ducting in the right way. And during meteor showers, I've worked 2 meters on sideband, and I have 6 meters too, and that's even better. Over.
Yeah.
Transistors have to be changed out for it with FCCs and playing the ground.
Hey, B10X. Yeah, I think I heard that particular rig, the 8, memory lapse here, 82, Kevin would know. He's into cleanliness and high fidelity audio, and I'm learning through his tutelage. I'll pass it over to Kevin near Beaverdale, Pennsylvania. That's in western Pennsylvania, by the way, and he's kind of around Pittsburgh, sort of, and in that vicinity of southwestern Pennsylvania. Just so you know, pick it up, Kevin. In, WB4AIO Virgil 3, over.
Yeah, okay. We're 66.6 miles east of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Exactly 66.6, and you notice we're on 3666, so it's all connected. I'm going to get out of here and be back in a few minutes. I need to get some refreshment and check up on my daughter. So you two carry on for a few moments, and I will be back. N2IRJ, AB1OX, this is WB4AIO, Interim AE. I'll be back soon.
Okay. I'll in turn put it on back to AB1OX from N2IRJ, Marty. Are you still there, AB10X? AB10X, this is Marty, N2IRJ in Central New Jersey. Over. I guess you figured we were both signing when Kevin was leaving to tend to his daughter, getting her to bed on time, which this is the second time, even though it's early. She has to make up for some lost sleep. I will say that, Kevin, if you're within earshot, that I heard you tuning up, but at that point I was still in the bedroom and I wasn't recording, but... if you wanted to, you could put your tuning up device on again, and since I'm rolling tape, as they would say, I'll capture it. You'll get to hear what you sound like on the air, or I can even play it back to you, your pulsing machine. And it's not obnoxious and square sound wave sounding like the ones that they sell on the market. I don't know if that's better or worse for the peak needs, but I told you how it looked on the pantographic adapter. N2IRJ standing by and switching back to the beverage receive antenna.
All I hear is band noise. WB4AIO, Interim AE.
Hey, it caught me with my mouth full. I'm finishing up this vegetarian food Laura made. I think that the other Kevin thought that your signing meant we were all signing. I never was able to raise him again. You might have heard that with your FM wireless speakers. Over.
Well, 73 to Kevin in Maine. Nice to talk to you. AB10X, if you are signed out, see you later. Nice to meet you on 3666 WB4AIO.
WB4AIO. Was that comment to me tuning up? I moved a few KCs away and tuned up to change the antennas. Go ahead.
Oh, no. We just thought you had signed out, so we were saying 73.
Yeah, I think one of the last go around when you said Kevin, I jumped in there and I think it should have went over to the other Kevin and I forgot there's two Kevins in here. My apology, guys.
No problem.
This is Marty, and I switched back to the vertical antenna, and I don't know if it's the band or what you did on your end, but you're sounding stronger than ever. Yeah, it turns out the only reason I was hearing you is because I was in a wider bandwidth, 6 kilohertz, and you didn't hear a thing. It was just sort of a curious, almost like CW signal, but off and on, you know? I made a recording of you this time, and here it goes.
SWR on that half-delta flopper. I went back on the bi-square loop, which is two wavelengths on 80 meters, and I really worked on it, really ran it through its paces. I went a few KCs up down, though, and I tuned up down there. I didn't think you were hearing me down there, but I kind of got it a lot flatter. Go ahead.
Okay, back to you, AB1OX from N2IRJ.
Yeah, I can hear your noise. You do have some strange noise out in that part of the country. The other thing is I could get this antenna up higher. Like I said, I'm right on the salt water almost, and there is a spring on my property, so the loop, albeit it's not a perfect square loop, it's fed with a one-to-one ballon that I wound myself with a really big carved piece of iron. And so it's one-to-one ballon. Short piece of coax, one-to-one ballon, and then wire nutted into about almost close to 500 feet of wire. But it's probably only 40, 45 feet above the ground. Go ahead.
Roger. For Kevin in near Beaverdale, are you copying the Kevin in Maine any better now as I am? And did you hear any funny noises coming out of my rig? I wanted to tell you that before this QSO, when I was listening to 20 meters, 14.178, the ESSB guys there, I checked, they mentioned their waterfall function, which, as you know, mine hasn't worked in a while. It's just a blank black, and you thought I was in tinkering with menus or something, and I wasn't. Well, guess what? I turned it on tonight, and it works, I guess, perfectly, just like I've seen them before. And it works on transmit as well. So by resetting the PC, we solved a lot of problems. Over to the Beaverdale, Kevin, WB4AIO. Virgil 3, over.
Yes, I am hearing AB10X better now, Marty, since I don't know if band conditions have changed or if it's merely the fact that he retuned his antenna. But whatever the case is, he is coming in somewhat better now. Still not particularly strong, but I'm copying a larger percentage of his words, and I have the, you know, this room gets pretty warm with the amplifier running and the two computers running and the audio processing rack and mixer running and the monitors running. The printer's even on, although I don't need it on. I don't know why I left it on. Anyway, with all this stuff running, it gets pretty warm in here. I just opened the window to let some of that fresh air in, and it's feeling delightfully cool. I hope I don't drift off frequency because of the cool air coming in. WB4AIO.
You can pick it up, Kevin, in Maine.
Well, it sounds like you're more than just ham. Like, by myself, like, I have an associate in electronics. I've got my Grohl radar endorsement, GMDSS. And then I went into, I picked up a ham ticket not that long ago. I've only had the extra for 2 years. I sat with the general and the extra. After I sat with the general, and I just took the extra test right there. Ace both of them. Really not that hard if you just, you know, read the questions a little bit and you understand the theory, you have a little background. The commercial test is a lot of fun if you're ever interested in taking that. That's a lot of fun. But I went to high school in the late 60s, and then I went back to college and had just a 2-year associate, and I worked a little bit. As an electronic tech, and I can do mostly the ham radio hobby. Acquire some equipment like a 141C spectrum analyzer, some other stuff. Have a charge monitor and a bunch of older stuff like an HP 1980B, the first completely digital storage adult stuff, 4-channel 100-meg. I'll turn it back over to you, Johnny. Go ahead.
Fine business, Kevin, N2IRJ here in Jackson. I am transmitting to you on my homebrew vertical antenna, which is about 23 years old, and it's getting rickety looking. It's made from spare parts, thanks to drunk drivers breaking telephone poles. My friend who works for the electric company was allowed to give me the old one, so I have like two telephone poles hooked together along with some PVC tubing and all that, and that's how I get my necessary height for this band. I'm actually, my visor is actually bad down this low in the band. It's really cut for more like 4 megahertz because that's where the nets are that I operate, but I'm going to be making station improvements this year still. I really was hit hard by Hurricane Sandy. It set me back a year. I was off the air, and I'm having to make a whole new ham shack. Your education, you shouldn't demean it. I'm convinced your technical knowledge and hands-on work exceeds mine in terms of radios. My expertise was with automobiles, and I worked many years, decades, with cars, and for a major auto manufacturer as a field technical manager. I'm an engineering physicist, and I have plenty of schooling and a master's degree, physics, mathematics, engineering, mechanical engineering technology, University of Pittsburgh. And it turns out that when it comes to taking tests like you took, I don't think I could pass it right away. Kevin did. I'll turn it over to him to tell you about it. He took the radio telephone license back when there was a first class. And I don't think I could pass that one. I, years ago, tutored people in the third class, or the general one, I guess, in its day, back in the 70s. And I was able to handle that at that young age. But I don't know if I could handle the one that you took. Let me turn it over to Kevin in Johnstown. Over.
Yeah, this is WB4AIO. Marty is a real expert when it comes to anything involving engines or automobiles, especially when it comes to the way in which the the physics is involved with those things. He could talk for hours intelligently on those topics, and he certainly was a very highly respected professional in that field until his retirement, and probably is still highly respected. I know I respect him. I do have a first-class radio telephone license, although that license class is no longer issued by the FCC. I think the year I passed that was 1976, maybe? Something like that. I'm not sure. I passed my advanced class amateur license in 1973, and I was first licensed as a novice in 1972. And from the 70s through the mid-90s, I was involved in broadcast engineering. In 1978, I became the chief engineer of WEAM, the legendary station on 1390 in the Washington, D.C. area. And later, I got into consulting for a great number of stations. However, I got out of broadcast engineering when I really began to object to all of the garbage that was being broadcast. And, you know, my job was not to make sure that wonderful, fulfilling, beautiful things were being broadcast. My job was just to make sure that the technical quality and the power of the garbage, you know, like, I don't know, Michael Jackson or some other trash, was getting out there properly. And I just felt that that was a terrible waste of my life. So ever since the early 90s, I got into writing and publishing. And it's been less remunerative than the broadcast engineering, but far more fulfilling. So I do some writing, editing, publishing, that sort of thing at this time. So there you have it, WB4AIO. Marty, I even remember the number on my first class radio telephone license, P1241461.
Oh my goodness, it's like my remembering pi 3.14159265358979323. Well, I'm getting fuzzy now, but I used to be able to recite it out to about the 50th decimal place. That lawnmower in your house, the model number is a Tecumseh engine model LAV354053 4H. Ha ha, 99 poo poo.
Wow, you have a good memory for letter number sequences also. I find myself able to remember telephone numbers of people I knew when I was a kid, so I have that ability also. Don't know what good use it is. Although these days I can't remember anybody's telephone number because the cell phone remembers the number for me, so I don't have to.
Yes, same here. It used to be in my hometown near where you are. We only had to dial 5 digits for local calls. Those were in the old days, and then they later went to the requirement of having 7, and now I think probably all 10. How about you? How are you doing up there in Maine? Into RJ, passing it over to AB10X.
So you're thinking, when you mentioned Table 7, right, and global addressing, that's what it is today, basically. Go ahead.
Marty, you put a zero in his call. That makes him AB10X.
Oh, my, I stand corrected then. AB10X, O-X. I take away the zero. You're a split lander, halfway in zero land out west, and in one by my way. Well, speaking of interesting call signs, I came across a few days ago by accident a call sign about 4 a.m. on 160 meters. I was on 1995 killer cycles because some people I know operate there. And after they had cleared about 4 in the morning, I heard this beacon, and its call sign was AX6, and being that it had an X, I kind of figured it must be an amateur radio involved experimental station. And on my radio here, even though it's out of production, they on the display have nomenclature about the different segments of the band and what they're supposed to be used for, gentlemen's agreement and all. And for that frequency area, it's called experimental. So I don't know if my friends are really maybe hurting some QRP stations or not by operating there. So far I haven't. I've in the past run the gentleman's band, but because of the hurricane destroying my antenna systems, I can't operate there right now. How about you? Do you do any 160 meter work, or are you really more of a VHF guy? The VHF really can be neat, like I said, when there are openings. I've done some amazing things with that. In fact, up and down the coast, I noticed there's an opening between New Jersey and Southern Virginia and the Carolinas. It's every year, and maybe there's one going up to Maine as well. I don't know. Back to you up there in Maine, AB10X.
Yeah, I do get on 160. I got to run through though. I can't run a tuner because the bi-square loop is one wavelength on 160. It runs hot, but the old gear can take it if I keep the transmissions down. Just go a couple of words. But I've gotten out pretty good on it.
Marty, I looked up that beacon, and it was on 1991 because it was 4 kilohertz heterodyne when you were tuned to 95. And I can't find any reference to it anywhere, but I did find a reference saying that since we share the upper end of 160 meters with radio location, that some of these beacons you hear up there are actually fishing beacons, little transmitters that are set out floating at sea to mark certain fishing locations for fishing boats or something like that.
That's very interesting. I had no clue. I mean, I came up with model numbers of avalanche locators and various other things, but I think you have the answer. It turns out that the X doesn't mean experimental, apparently. It's not really an amateur station. Over.
Well, if my speculation is right, I have no idea, but it's since I've seen reference to some of these beacons, and I did hear a couple others myself. I heard one on, I don't remember the ID, but I heard one on 1987 and another one on 1986. It's a plausible theory. Kevin, do you know anything about those fishing beacons? Are those beacons for other purposes on the upper end of 160? Have you ever heard them?
Transmitter systems. Let me see, there's some stuff down. There is mutual. Oh, no, metal detectors are way down. That wouldn't be them. Let me look that up here. There's some stuff here. I do hear beacons on VHF up here. But I think those are the ones that they're using for mapping the polar movement or something like that. I don't know.
Well, sounds like you don't know any more than I do. I heard those beacons for the first time last night. I have heard another beacon on 160. I believe it's on 1915 kilohertz. And I did track that one down through some diligent Google searching of various shortwave databases. The one on 1915 is a CW station operated by the German Coast Guard. And it was coming in reasonably well one night. But those ones up on 1986, 1987, and 1991, as far as I can tell, they're just completely mysterious. And the only clue I have is that somebody said they're fishing beacons. But I don't know if that somebody is right. WB4AIO.
I'll pick it up. Yeah, it turns out that I didn't have a clue But if you listen to the latest LibertyNet recording when I'm speaking to W1WCR in the end, you will hear that he also heard those beacons, the ones that you heard, which are much more receivable. They're easier to receive than that one that I did, not to mention I was way off frequency. It's lucky that I even got what I got, if you're saying it was on 91. And let's say I was on 95 with a 4 kilohertz filter. I was just barely capturing it. How did you find out what the frequency was?
When I played the recording you sent me, I just looked at my audio spectrum analyzer and saw that it was a 4 kilohertz tone.
Roger.
Interface requirements, the R and T, T and E. There's something they might have to be registered there.
Yeah, I don't know how to look that up. But if you look it up and tell us what's on 1991 kilohertz, you could solve the mystery. WB4AIO.
Yeah, but that's for short range. What you're talking about wouldn't be short range, but there would still have to be something in the ITUR recommendation report, you know. It just can't show up. There's got to be a way to find it.
Yeah, it must be listed somewhere, just not where I was looking.
Yeah, same here. I tried AX6. Is that what the call sign was that you heard, Kevin?
Well, I'm just going by what you wrote down. I didn't really try to copy it.
Okay. Wouldn't it be funny if you're chasing the wrong call sign?
Well, you wrote down AX6, but that doesn't sound like a call sign, you know. Call sign A6X might be a call sign, but AX6 just sounds like some sort of random designator. But then again, who knows? What do I know? I don't know.
I'm thinking that it was non-amateur because I thought the same about the placement of the number in the letter series, and it's almost like a special event station or something.
Worldwide minimum external noise levels, and there's actually an internet connect, you know, there's a bunch of, they're in Switzerland, but you might go look there, because everything from 10 kilohertz to 1 gig and beyond is concerned to them.
Yep. You came up to 5 over 9 that time, Kevin.
Worldwide minimum external noise levels are from 0.1 hertz to 100 gigahertz. And there has to be authorization from the copyright holder. And the ITU copies of that. So it's got to be there. But that would be beyond that. If that's already operational equipment, so that had to be manufactured. So there's got to be some kind of traceability.
Unless it's being operated by an intelligence agency, but which I doubt. More likely it's being operated by a fishing boat crew.
Well, that could be the story, the cover story.
There you go. It's a cover story. Marty, we tuned into a secret agent transmission of some kind.
Yes, yes. Referring to the Mariners, sometimes they drop below 2 megacycles and get into our band, and they sure have sailors' mouths. but most anymore, they mostly stay up where they belong.
I haven't heard any maritime transmissions in the 2 megahertz region for a long, long time. I wonder if that's been largely abandoned.
Yeah, I'm wondering too, because it's been a long time since I heard that. What I'm referring to dates back years, but back then it used to happen semi-frequently, you know, maybe about 10 times in my lifetime.
Yeah, one time I was on 160, on the high end of 160, on AM, believe it or not, and a vessel came down into the 160-meter band to request that I call the Coast Guard for him because he couldn't raise anybody. So I did. I made the phone call for him. His boat was on fire.
True amateur radio at its best. Over to you, Kevin, up in Maine.
Yeah, I don't know that if you went to a government agency and asked about that, that they would tell you, because they wouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah, who knows? I don't think I'd be inclined to ask them, because whenever you ask anything of a government agency, then it brings you to their attention, and I'd rather not have them know that I exist.
Familiar with Puff 2.1, it's out of Caltech. Trying to think of who did that. Familiar with that programming?
What's the first word? I didn't get the first word. Something 2.1.
Puff, P-U-F-F. It's software from Caltech, and it's quite interesting.
No, I have never heard of Puff 2.1. Heck, I've never even heard of Puff 1.1.
Yeah, same here. The only Puff I've heard of is picofarads. Well, are you into the digital modes? Is that what you're using sometimes? And if so, are they for VHF only, or can we operate them down here? Because our rigs both have the ability to do digital, but we haven't experimented with that mode yet. Up to Kevin in Maine. Yeah, it turns out that, up until just a few months ago when I received this used radio, which is in beautiful condition, I was using my Yaesu FT-1000D, and I told you how I opened it up from 2.4 to 3.1 and had perfectly nulled carrier point and everything. I really did a good job. But anyway, we tapped into the IF. And I think that was it. Kevin, correct me. But what we did is we fed our audio in there instead of through the normal microphone. So had I wanted to, I could have put digital information in and worked my friends. Some of them are in South America, the ones I speak with on 20 meters, and they used, back in those days, they used Pactor 1 and Pactor 2 and then Pactor 3. I understand they're up to Pactor 4 now, but that's not the normal mode that people run, you know. I think maybe PSK stuff is what most people run. Well, not most, but a lot, you know, the early guys. But I never even got myself involved in that, so I'm in the dark. I would need to be tutored. Over. Oh, Kevin up in Maine, I'll say one more thing. One mode that Kevin and I both slightly experimented with by just listening is Digital Radio Mondial, DRM. Have you ever dealt with any DRM digital broadcasts?
No.
Okay, they're mostly in Europe, and one frequency is 3955, the BBC, and there's a published schedule chart, and it's it's digital high fidelity radio. The only problem that's supposed to be able to deal with selective fading and propagation changes and so forth, unlike regular AM or FM, but it turns out that you need to have a really strong signal-to-noise ratio to pick it up. Most of the time when we try, we'll only get bits and pieces of words. Other days we'll get lucky and we'll, for maybe a full half hour, hear perfectly clear, you know, almost a zero noise floor. But it's everything or nothing. Over.
I tried listening to the BBC on 3955, and even though they were 20 over 9, and the noise level was only S9, I could not decode even a single syllable, not even a moment did it decode. There was no audio decoding possible. It was sort of getting some of the data, and it was acknowledging there was a digital stream there, but no audio came out of the speakers whatsoever. And that was on a night that Europe was coming in unusually well. So I don't really hold out much hopes for 3955, although I guess it's conceivable that in the dead of winter we might have a night with low enough noise to achieve that, but I am not hopeful. WB4AIO.
Some power too. Some of them are 100 or 150 kilowatts, although others go down as low as possibly 1,000, but I'm not sure if they go that low. Radio Nigeria was very screwed up. They were consuming, I think, 10 megacycles. Yeah, or they were taking 10 megahertz of bandwidth to transmit a 3 kilohertz. Excuse me, I stand corrected. They occupied 10 kilocycles, 10 KC. I take that back. Remember what I'm talking about, Kevin and Beaverdell? They take up a lot more bandwidth than what they put out. It was 3 times the bandwidth, whereas the other stations on DRM, Digital Radio Mondial, it's a French word for worldwide, the M, the Mondial, it's the other way around. They use compression algorithms, and I've already seen here 13 kilohertz audio out of a 10 kilohertz carrier. So that's very interesting that they were able to get a higher frequency through the digital manipulations than the actual bandwidth they were taking up. But the Nigerian stations, they seem to be clueless. It's just the opposite. They're only transmitting 3 KC of bandwidth, and yet they're occupying 10 of that in bandwidth on the band. Over.
Is that Delta modulation?
Say again?
Is that Delta modulation?
It's a DRM, Digital Radio Mondial. It's some form of multiple carrier, a quadrature, amplitude modulation. I'm not sure exactly what the designation is, but it's a multiple carrier digital system. Over. Yeah, Nigeria was pretty clueless. They had a very restricted telephone quality sounding 3 kilohertz audio coming out of your speakers, also with lots of distortion and wild level inconsistencies, and yet they had a rather rollicking, large, powerful DRM signal, which certainly could have produced better audio than that. Radio Romania, which I listened to the same day, had a much better DRM signal with better fidelity. But the best of all, the best two DRM signals I've heard so far, and I haven't heard many, was Radio New Zealand sounded very good. Very good fidelity, and Radio Exterior de España sounded very good also. Perhaps they had the best sounding signal from their relay transmitter in Costa Rica. However, even the best fidelity ones have a little bit of phasey kind of low bitrate MP3 sound to it. It just does have some digital artifacts. It's not perfect. It's not as good as broadcast FM. WB4AIO.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think of it as a differential PCM or something like that. That would be the but that's not it.
You know, I don't know enough about it to describe it intelligently, except I do know it uses multiple carriers. It fits and it modulates those carriers with some form of quadrature modulation. And the total bandwidth of the system is the RF bandwidth of the channel is 10 kilohertz total. And when it's done properly, you can get about 13 kilohertz of received audio out of a 10 kilohertz DRM channel with very good signal-to-noise ratio. But as I said, there are some digital artifacts where the audio just doesn't sound perfectly clean like a high bitrate MP3. It sounds more like I think they use AAC coding. They use the coding algorithm called AAC Plus, if I'm not mistaken. And they've got about the stations I've seen with the highest bit rates, it's about 22 kilobits per second bit rate. And it sounds like it's 22 kilobits per second. Over.
Apple computers use AAC as one of the many options. They can do anything, actually. But the way we found out about it, I'm addressing Kevin up in Maine, we used to run a net 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and even to the present, but the frequency has changed. All those years we were on 3950, and when about 4 years ago or so, we started getting this buzzing noise that would jam us and make us have to QSY. It was the BBC on 3955. We were on 3950, so we got curious and found out they were doing experimental testing before the official launch, and it's since then for years now been officially launched, and it's findable on the internet. You can find time schedules and places to try to listen, and your receiver might, if you're lucky, you'll catch a glimpse of it, and maybe the digital data will appear, you know, the station and the specifications and all that. But for sustained audio, it's, I think, more designed to be domestic, you know, European, say, or like New Zealand, Romania, the various places there. Although on the schedule that Kevin found on the internet, there was one station I noticed that the intended audience was USA, North America. So that would be right up your line. In fact, our new frequency that we use for the net is 3995 lower sideband, and there's a German station parked on there, 1 kilowatt. We're told that it's a relay station, actually. It puts HCJB broadcasts out on DRM, even though HCJB apparently hasn't broadcast in years from Quito, Ecuador. Over.
Yeah, the one on 3995, though, is not DRM. It's just AM.
Yes, I should have clarified that. It's just AM. But it's so low, it's only 1 kilowatt, it doesn't bother us. And other hams don't want to use the frequency because they'd rather have it be perfectly clean. And we would prefer that, too. But I'm able to null it out with my beverage and still have fun up there. Into IRJ, over to AB10X.
Into IRJ, AB10X. The weird European stuff, bisync protocol. You know, it's not unlike IBM binary protocol. I'm just wondering if it's something, you know, traceable to something in the protocol, you know, the digital system prior to the equipment. You know what I'm saying?
really don't. It's Kevin who helped me out on this matter. I think I might have been one of the first people to determine it was DRM, but he did the research, and he also found the schedule and the software to put in my PC to this radio so that I could decode it. And he also pointed out to me that the default on the radio is reverberation on. They actually, besides buffering it, try to fill in the blank spaces that we spoke of. The blank, you know, with the reverb, to give your brain a second chance to sort of hear what you missed the first time through. These are instantaneous digital artifact misses, which is, I guess, one problem they even have locally. Back to you up in Maine.
I don't know anything about the protocol, Kevin. All I know is what I've very briefly scanned in the literature. But what you're asking me about digital protocols, I mean, I could analyze a digital protocol exactly the same way I made my first million.
Yeah, it's the equipment end of it. The filling in the blanks, isn't that a lot like the polytope filter, you know, with PCM coding and, you know, where you have a tuned receiver on a cell phone system, a digital, but the second fundamental, say, of 900 megahertz or so, and 1.8 gigs, there's a data stream telling the phone where to go. And that locking in the spaces is kind of like when the call drops, it fills in the blank. Cell phone systems kind of use something similar to that.
Yeah, so does Skype. If you have a dropout in Skype, sometimes it will make an echoey sound. It tries to fill in the dropout and fool your ear into thinking maybe there really wasn't a dropout. But if there are too many of them in a row, it sounds like a very bizarre echo chamber, WB4AIO.
Yeah, hence the artifact. Yeah. But the thing with the transmitter, it sounds like a CDMRA, coded decimal. Yeah, it's what you said, that other term. It sounds like that same type of thing. CDMA.
Well, let's see. I'm looking it up on the internets now. DRM, Digital Radio Mondial. Mondial is worldwide in both French and Italian. And audio source coding. Useful bit rates for DRM range from 6.1 kilobits per second in mode D to 34.8 kilobits per second in mode A for a 10 kilohertz bandwidth. It is possible to achieve bit rates up to 72 kilobits per second in mode A by using a 20 kilohertz wide channel. So there is a potential for using 20 kilohertz DRM with much higher fidelity. However, I have never witnessed a 20 kilohertz DRM signal. The only ones I've ever seen have been the 10 kilohertz variety. They also can use AAC, MPEG-4, MPEG-4 CELP, MPEG-4 HVHC. I don't know what any of those are. And the modulation used for DRM is coded orthogonal frequency division multiplexing, COFDM, where every carrier is modulated with quadrature amplitude modulation, QAM, with a selectable error coding. So there you have it, straight from the source, WB4AIO.
See, I got a digital communication system for that. I think that's in there.
I worked on a transmitter that used quadrature amplitude modulation, but it wasn't DRM, and it wasn't actually a digital transmission system. It was a simple AM stereo. Back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, I did some work for WBZE, and they had a 50,000-watt AM transmitter, Harris Pulse Duration Modulation Transmitter, and they used quadrature compatible quadrature amplitude modulation to send the left minus right information. The envelope of the AM signal was modulated with the left plus right information, and the quadrature signal, the quadrature sidebands were used 90 degrees out of phase, were used to send the left minus right information. And then they also had some error correction in there somewhere too to make it compatible with envelope detectors. But anyway, I worked on that transmitter, and it was fairly simple, fairly elegant, produced good results. The only thing is, I don't think anybody ever listened to AM stereo except for a few hobbyists. It was just about a total bust in the marketplace. I guess GM did produce some AM stereo receivers, so I guess people listened to it to some extent, but probably they were the only ones, and they just didn't even know what they were listening to because they just happened to have a GM car back around that period of time. But it did have one nice benefit for the GM cars in the early 90s. It did cause them to widen the bandwidth and increase the fidelity of some of the car radios at that time. But anyway, that was quadrature amplitude modulation. The system was called CQAM, and it was invented by Motorola. And it was CQAM stood for Compatible Quadrature Amplitude Modulation.
Chapter here, it's a bi-orthogonal single set with, you know, optimum receiver where you could, that was wild. You add an additional single vector to each coordinate, and then, this is some wild stuff here. Yeah, so the bandwidth, I'm trying to find something that would correspond to that. Hey, it comes from the QPSK example, so I don't know, I don't think I'm going to find that in that section.
Another weird mode I heard the other day was down on, what frequency was it? I think it's, can't remember now. I think it's like 24 kilohertz, though, something like that. It's very, very low, ultra long wave. I hooked up a 75 meter dipole that's literally 5 feet off the ground, and I hooked it up to my Raycall RA6790 communications receiver, and I tuned way down low because that receiver will tune way, way down to almost to DC, and I heard this warbly carrier down around, I think it was 24 kilohertz or maybe it was 21 kilohertz, I can't remember now, but it was a naval station in Cutler, Maine. I think it's NSS in Cutler, Maine, and they transmit using a mode called MSK, minimum shift keying. I guess that's used to keep the bandwidth down. But MSK sounded like a very attenuated, muffled version of FSK. And even though it was extremely weak, it was still distinctly heard over the noise at my location. So strange stuff out there on the radio dial, not including N2IRJ. He's pretty strange, too. Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know that.
I wonder how tall a quarter wave vertical would be for 21 kilohertz.
Well, I like to pull around with, you know, like 600, you know, way down on the AM, you know, with my... You know, I try to, like, put a finger, like, in a water main to see if I can pick it up down the road, you know, using an old Masterworks AM receiver. I like to pull around like that. Yeah, I figure out, you know, like, quarter wavelength at, you know, down on the real low end. But if you go down on DLI, you know, quarter wavelength gets into miles.
Oh, okay. So down on those frequencies, you want a mile-high antenna for a quarter-wave vertical.
Well, I haven't done the math. I don't think the thing is, it uses the ocean. You know, the ground goes down below. It penetrates the water. which is how that VLF system works up there in the NAA. You're talking about 2,000 kilowatt stations on the main. It uses that principle where it can penetrate the ocean and the ground stays down there, you know, as opposed to, you know, the Earth's ground, the magnetic ground. I guess, I'm not too sure how to explain it, but it's kind of like using VLF in caves, you know, we kind of follow the opening of the cave in order to follow the signal, in order to find the ground point.
Well, you're close enough to them that I think if you put up a vertical antenna as high as you could make it and then attached a LC, a parallel-tuned LC circuit at the bottom of it, and then link-coupled to that, you know, tune the LC circuit to 21 kilohertz or whatever their frequency is, and then link-coupled to that LC circuit, you should be able to power your entire home from the energy from their transmissions. Over. Well, maybe that explains it. A lot of people are crazy these days, and it's all the Navy's fault.
Yeah, I like that research. No, I went to put that. No, it's there. That would take like a.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that slow. Wow, that's unbelievably slow. I can hear the modulation, though. The modulation sounds like it's at a much higher baud rate than that, but maybe what I'm hearing isn't the actual information being transmitted. Maybe it's some sort of subcarrier, low frequency subcarrier that the thing is always modulated with. Heck, I don't know how MSK works, so I'm just guessing.
Right, so the baud rate is like half of what carries the data. So that's going real slow. So there's all that data in that baud. You gotta figure out what that baud speed is. And that's kinda hard to do though, you know, not knowing what the system is.
Well, I guess I'm not really that interested in decoding it. I just hope they, just hope there's no war. Hope there are no launch codes connected in the or contained in the messages. WB4AIO.
Floating around everywhere, you know, if you go near it with a boat, you know, they'll just kick you right off. You can't get near the installation.
Well, guys, I think I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to start winding my day down. It's been fun. Boy, the band is really clear right now. It was crowded earlier, but I guess at 10 o'clock a lot of people start going to bed, and I think I'm going to start moving in that direction myself. Nice to meet you, Kevin, and your signal has greatly improved since you first came on. I'm getting just about every word you're saying now. So I will say 73 to you, and nice to meet you. And Marty, good to talk to you also. Especially nice to talk to Laura earlier. Wow, that voice of hers just really sounds delightful over your system there, over your radio station. And I hope she does start a net. I bet it would be very popular. Into IRJ in the Salt Flats of Jackson, New Jersey, where RCA, Radio Corporation of America, did so many of its famous experiments back in the 1930s, and AB10X near the Naval Submarine Communication Station in the far eastern part of Atlantic America. This is WB4AIO near Beaverdale, Pennsylvania, where beavers are in the road, beavers are on the sidewalk, they're in your yard, and they're all over the place. This is WB4AIO, Interim AE, saying 73, and good night.
And this is N2IRJ. I'll depart also, but before I do, I'll ask a question. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you mentioned the handy talkies, walkie talkies, or, well, you didn't mention them, but you mentioned about going into the entrance of a cave. Well, years ago, I visited Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, and they had special walkie talkies that they carried, the government people, you know, the tour guides, and they could go miles and miles and talk to each other underground. And I was wondering what frequency they were on, over.
Yeah, it would be down in VLF. You know, that's a good place to start somebody in electronics, you know, to teach residents, you know, phone circuits and antenna current, and explain how an antenna becomes a transducer. And basically converting one form of energy into another form of energy. Electromagnetic wave, taking the electric, and the antenna becomes a current. So, in that case, there's a lot to consider on the VLF end of it, and how the ground plays into it, and the opening of the cave, and the shape of the cave, and how the ground waves. I'm not really explaining it that well, but to try to understand the tuned circuit portion of it, and what frequency it's on. I'd have to sit down and just, like, you know, triple something out.
Okay. Well, this was back in 1977 when I visited Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. I want to say it's in southern New Mexico. I used to know the name of the city. But I suspected that, too. That they were operating very low frequency or low frequency or something. All the operators, the people I asked who had the talkies, they said that regular radios, two-way radios, didn't work down there. I assume they're talking VHF and UHF, so they had to get these special ones to communicate. It's really a beautiful underground cavern, caves and everything that they the public tours. And at nighttime, there's a bat flight. Bats live in there, and tens of thousands of bats launch off at night and form a black cloud in the sky. It's amazing. And it was really amazing and enjoyable speaking with you too, Kevin. And if you ever want to get in contact, just use my call sign at arrl.net. That would be n2irj@arrl.net. And I think I could stand to be educated by you in the digital. I think you had a good education. I'll say 7-3 to you, and good night. I think we completed our RFI test, the other Kevin and I. That's why we got on in the first place. We're trying to work the bugs out of both of our stations that we're rebuilding. You know, mine from Hurricane Sandy. See ya. N2IRJ clearing out.
7-3. Yeah, it would be interesting to build a transducer at that frequency. What would you go about doing that? Maybe 1-11, 7-3.
W2ZZA.
Well, I'm signing out, but I do hear W2ZZA with a very, very good signal into western Pennsylvania. The name is Kevin. The call is WB4AIO.
Ah, very good, Kevin. Well, you sound wonderful here. You have delightful audio. My name is Dave, Delta Alpha Victor Echo. Calls Whiskey 2 Zulu, Zulu America. And I'm located just outside of Buffalo, New York, in a town called Cheektowaga. I'm about 6 miles from the shores of Lake Erie and 525 miles from New York City, as far as you can get from New York City and still be in New York State. Back to you, Kevin.
Okay, very good, Dave. Well, excellent signal. You're 30 dB over S9. You're actually a little bit stronger than my friend Marty that I was just talking to. He was about 25 over 9. So rock-crushing signal into Beaverdale, Pennsylvania area. I'm in the cool air of the Allegheny Mountains of western PA, and running an SDR-1000, which is, I guess you'd call it an antique software-defined radio, because it was the first SDR that was commercially available. and driving it with some external audio gear, and that goes into 4572Bs and a Marconi antenna. So there you have it. Nice to meet you. I do operate quite a bit down here, and also not necessarily on this frequency, but sometimes down a few KC. Anyway, the lower part of the extra band. And I also operate quite a bit up around 3995, so maybe we'll cross paths again. Nice to meet you, and once again, superb signal strength here, quieting the receiver almost like an FM station. W2ZZA, WB4AIO, interim AE.
Yeah, okay, Kevin. WB4AIO, W2ZZA. In the buff, as I like to say, Buffalo, New York. Keeps people thinking. Well, very good. Your signal is likewise very, very strong, and the audio is outstanding, and your audio sidechain is doing a fine job, and nothing like a software-defined radio to be able to let you open up the audio. And I have to ask you, do you ever put a carrier under that thing and run AM? Because you ought to. It would sound awesome.
Oh, yeah, I do it all the time. I AM is my first love in amateur radio. Just the other night I was on 3875 AM with this thing, and earlier this morning, Marty and I got on AM on 7280, just below the usual AM window spot on 40 meters. So absolutely, AM is what got me started as a shortwave listener, and I'm not giving it up. Over.
Yes, very good. A man of my own heart. Well, I have some what I would call, without bragging, superior AM gear here. It still has valves in it. I use an RCA BTA 1R1 that I cared for many years. It got into my possession. I modified it for 80 meters. And I do run high-level plate modulation. And, you know, the standard 375-watt carrier, tongue-in-cheek, hi-hi. But yes, it works well, and I love AM. We'll meet again, I'm sure, Kevin. I'll let you go. It sounds like you want to get some Z's. You should do that. Store up some energy for tomorrow's QSOs. WB4AIO, W2ZZA, 73.
Okay, Dave, nice to meet you. And I really do want to hear that RCA broadcast transmitter. That sounds wonderful. I used to be a broadcast engineer. And when I was chief engineer at WEAM, we had an RCA BTA 10U2. And we were a 5-kilowatt station, but we had very, very rarely granted type acceptance to run the RCA BTA 10U2, which is a 10-kilowatt AM transmitter, at 5 kilowatts. And boy, that thing was clean and 200% modulated if you wanted it to be. And that was actually allowed in the 70s when I started there. So anyway, we probably could have a long QSO, but I need to check on my daughter and make sure she gets to bed so she can get to school on time. And I also need to store up my energy because I have a date on Saturday, and with me to have to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for a date, man, I need two days of really good rest. 73, W2ZZA, WB4AIO. Good night.
Good night, Kevin, and we will catch up on AM. You'll hear me. I guarantee it. Very good, and yeah, I too spent quite some time in the broadcast industry. Very glad I'm out of it. I have been for the last 12 years, but spent a little over 20 playing around with big valves, big stations, and kind of cut my teeth on a 20K FM, well, it'd be 35 years ago now. So, and then to any kind of directional you can imagine, and diplexed directionals. I did some diplexing design work and installation, so it was fun. Gotta go. Gotta let you get your rest, and good luck on the date. WB4AIO, W2ZZA.
73, great to meet you, Dave.
Let me give a quick hello and goodbye to you, Dave, W2ZZA. This is Marty, N2IRJ. I was also clearing before. I'm located in Jackson, New Jersey. It's the central part of the state, about 20 miles from the ocean. This goes back probably 10 years or more, but I'm wondering, is there a Northtown Hyundai or Orchard Park Hyundai around there? I used to call on those places as part of my job. Over.
Oh, yeah, there certainly is. that's on Orchard Park Road. Yes, I frequent that area, actually. That's kind of between where I live and where I work. My office is in Orchard Park. I do design work for the cellular telephone industry. Actually, I do design work for the environmental controls for the cabinets that go under the towers, and other things, lots of other things. Hold a few patents on items in that area. Anyway, don't want to get into the work thing here. It's ham radio time. Let's talk about something that's fun. And Marty, your signal is very good here too. Also, I stopped at this frequency because the signals were good and there were three sixes in a row, and I thought, well, there's something strange about that. But that has to be obvious, and you guys parked it here just for that reason. Something devilishly good about the whole thing. N2IRJ W2ZZA.
That's humorous. It turns out we picked up on the same thing, but we didn't deliberately do it. Originally, we had another frequency nearby, but then by the time Kevin came, it was occupied, and we're running wider bandwidth, and we didn't want to cause anybody QRM who was here first. So we were mostly 6 kilohertz wide during the QSO. And I'm glad that you're hearing me as well as you are, because Kevin's running a tube amplifier, and I'm just running about 500 watts out of a solid state. I normally have a rock-crushing tube amplifier, but it's out of commission for a good while. But once it's back on, I think we'll really have some powerful QSOs. You're strong. You're about a 20 over by noise floor, an S7, and I'm listening to you with a vertical antenna at the moment. My usual antenna is a beverage antenna pointed westward, but I think that it would be a disadvantage under these conditions. We were just talking to someone in Maine and found out my vertical actually heard much better than the beverage, which was westward pointing. So I think I would really like to talk to you again in the future, even about your work. If you're into the climate control for the those rooms, maybe you deal with HVAC, and I'm interested in that. My main occupation, engineering, I'm a field technical manager. I was the first field technical manager for Hyundai in 1986 till most recently. So that's how I knew those dealers. I didn't know if North Tents existed still or not, but there was Orchard Park, I remember. They were very nice to me there at the time. I don't know by now how they are. Okay, I'll say goodnight to you, and I'll work you on AM sometime. And if you ever want to reach me by email, it's my call sign at ARRL.net. N2IRJ, clearing out with you, Dave. Name's Marty.
Okay, Marty. Very good. Yeah, got that first time around. N2IRJ, W2ZZA. Well, yeah, very good, and yeah, love to work you on AM. I usually, when I'm down at this end of the band on AM, I try to park at about 3705, right in that region. There seems to be a contingent of AM operators that land there and seem to be respected on either side by everyone else. So that's always good. And I can operate anywhere here on the 80-meter band. My transmitter is remotely controlled. It's in the garage, and I'm parked in the basement shack here. And yeah, you can email me anytime at the same arrangement, my call at the league. And by the way, this summer, my wife and I, my wife's a ham also. By the way, Sandy is one of those rare individuals. She's not an auxiliary member. You know, she's an active ham. And she had her own punch tool and lineman set when I met her, so she's pretty cool. And we were late life married. This is my second time around. But anyway, we went up to the league headquarters of this summer, and Marty, if you've not been, I suggest you do it. It is one experience that you'll probably never forget. It was in my bucket list. We had the opportunity this summer to take a ride up there. It's about 6 hours from here. And we just had a good time. And they were very hospitable, and they allowed us to operate as long as we wanted. And there's nothing like using the league call sign when it comes to making contacts. There's a pile up almost immediately, and you're using the best gear available. Anyway, Mary, I know you want to go, and so do I. I just wanted to make a few contacts before I shut my eyes here. And everybody that jumped in, thanks so much for being so hospitable. N2IRJ, and the now Fading group, W2Z today, 7-3, guys.
Righto, and boy, congratulations on picking a fine wife. I'm lucky that way, too. My wife is an extra class from the old days, and so am I, back with the 20 words per minute. And she was on here talking earlier in this queue, so, but you'll get to hear her again since you've tipped me off on, I think, 3705. I'll mention to Kevin because he's the big AMer, and maybe we'll see you there. Unless you find us down band like this time. Okay, good night. Pleasant dreams, and have a great day tomorrow. And to IRJ, tomorrow. It's still not tomorrow yet. Okay, and to IRJ, clearing out. Bye.
Bye, Marty. W2Z today, clear. That is why I love ham radio.